The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, before it became an American standard, When I Fall in Love began its life as a movie score from the 1950s, and many hit songs often begin life as instrumental pieces before becoming worldwide hits after a great lyricist will transform them. Well, today's selection for the lyrics, The Thing, began as an instrumental called Silent Story, written by the Norwegian composer Ralph Loveland, he of Secret Garden with Fionnuala Sherry, following a collaboration with Irish songwriter and novelist Brendan Graham, The Silent Story became a heralded global phenomenon known as You Raise Me Up. And Paul Harrington, 20 years ago this month, was when Brendan Graham put pen to paper.
Good morning, Pat. Yes, indeed it is. Isn't it hard to believe it was 20 years ago, I think on the 1st of May, he was telling me 20 years ago. And it was on paper, by the way, because just in the last few days, Brendan sent me a lovely snap of the page that he started working on the song, which was a privilege to see. As I say, we're nice and timely now with this one, and I thought it would be good to celebrate it. And what with kind of Eurovision in the air, and as you know, Brendan Graham has two victories under his belt. But, you know, sometimes I'm amazed it's 20 years old. And then on the other hand, I think, God, is it only 20 years old? It seems like it's been around forever, which, of course, it's a sign of a fantastic song, which it is. And as you say, a phenomenal success. And I suppose to demonstrate that a little bit, I think it's well worthwhile mentioning just a few statistics. For example, this is pretty big stuff. The song has now surpassed over 2 billion views in over 40 languages on YouTube and other platforms, and which is unbelievable. And the recordings now would be in excess of 1,500 at this stage. So I suppose global success is almost an understatement. Mm-hmm. But it's rare that I have access to the writers of a song for this slot. And it was a couple of months ago that I did have the chat with Brendan. But I was chatting to him about it. And we chatted about almost everything, I suppose, catching up, bar You Raise Me Up. But we got to it eventually. But it was a very organic chat about its success, obviously, but probably more about the inspirational success and the power of its lyric and how, for example, during COVID, which is an obvious thing, it has become something of a song for the times. And Brendan, I think this is important. I hope people go and look this up or listen to it. Brendan has recorded a spoken version in aid of MSF this visual montage of newspaper headlines and black and white stills of frontline workers. And there's so much more, of course. But here you get to hear the real power of this lyric and how it inspires so many. People have started charitable organizations inspired by it. I think there was a hospital built in Australia because of it. And people of all walks of life, they've quoted it. And in situations where and when you have to dig deep for hope, this song emerges and it inspires. And, you know, one of the biggest songs of this century. I'm not saying that. That was the head of Deutsche Grammophon said that in recent years. But it's instantly recognizable across all continents in multiple languages.
And to think, Paul, that Westlife were not going to record it. Now, what a mistake that would have been.
I know. Honestly, God, this business is so sliding doors. They were already like thriving at this stage anyway. But and Brian McFadden had decided to leave. He was gone for a solo career. And then Louis Walsh suggested it to the remaining Fab Four. But they didn't want to record it, saying that it was a bit church-like or it was a bit hymn-like. But of course, we know that they did. And it gave them their 13th number one. And to this day, it's the most played version on YouTube. So you can almost hear the collective sighs of relief, I suppose, when they think about that, you know. But it was absolutely career-changing for them. It sent them right into the stratosphere altogether.
Now, in terms of the lyric for you, it's the less often heard second verse that has captured your attention.
Yeah, it really has. I love it. You know, I'll just read the lines to you. You know, there is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. And the remaining lines then, when you come and I'm filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. I mean, for me, maybe it's because I never really heard it in a lot of the pop versions. But when I did hear it and it did break through, it made so much sense to me of the chorus in a way, because it digs that little bit deeper. You know, that it's not a promise or a guarantee. Strength is not a constant. It's a possibility. And, you know, and this, I suppose this verse captures the imperfections, the struggles, the inequalities, the flaws of the human condition, and even the mystery of life itself, and that unquenchable instinct for us to survive, to thrive, and to love. And then it almost wraps around you, giving a sense of, I suppose, a sense of being looked after by something at least as powerful as love itself, if not more powerful. And then, of course, the chorus soars beautifully, describing but not naming what it is in you that empowers me, or at least gives me enough hope to obscure the despair and start the climb towards the top of the mountain.
Now, that inspirational quality has been recognised right across the globe. Many commemorative performances, from Swaziland to the Super Bowl, from 9/11 to Nelson Mandela's 91st birthday. It's a song for almost any occasion.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, right down to everybody's, it's been at weddings and funerals and birthdays. And, you know, it's funny, I was looking at one of the so many quotes, by the way, a songwriter and the producer of the song, David Foster. You know, he called it, among other things, but he called it a darn near perfect song. And Brian Kennedy, you know, he's right when he said, he was quoted as well as saying that it was a classic while it was still in its infancy. And I think that's true today, you know. But there's been so many deferential quotes about this song, and far too many of them for me to read today. But I think there's one for me that sums up the song as a song best. And it's from the Reader's Digest. And it says, it's beautifully constructed. It works on several different levels. As a devotional love song, as a tribute to someone inspiring, and even as a hymn of faith in something bigger than ourselves. And of course, one more from Hot Press Magazine's yearbook as well, which describes it as one of the most important popular songs of the past 25 years, which is born now because that was a few years ago, but and it's the most recorded modern Irish song lyric of all time. And of course, as I was looking at all of this and researching all of this, I realised that it's very much an Irish story with all the connections. Our own Johnny Logan was, he was apparently the guy who was sang the very first version of it. And then, very quickly, Brian Kennedy was right in there. He did the next version, which was a big hit in the UK. He did it with Secret Garden, which is made up, of course, of Rolf Loveland, who is Norwegian, and of course our own Fionnuala Sherry, who was listening, by the way. She was in touch with me this morning, thank God. And of course, Westlife, you know. And I know there's Josh Groban's version and 1,500 more, but what can I tell you? It's an Irish story.
Well, it's a song of inspiration, a song of our time, written by our own Brendan Graham and Rolf Loveland from Secret Garden, who, of course, was a winner for Norway, if you remember, in the Eurovision Song Contest. And just last year, Quincy Jones, with the help of several thousand contributors, distilled to 925 videos from 52 countries, turned You Raise Me Up into a global event, creating the largest virtual piano recital in history. That's an awful lot of pianos. But as always, Paul, you're going to use just the one piano. So yeah, no pressure.
Absolutely.
With Brendan Graham listening in as well.
Exactly. And just for him, because Eurovision is around the corner, I'm just going to add a little touch of that in there as well, too. Thanks, Pat.
When I am down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, that I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. Raise me up to walk on the stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. Raise me up. can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up to more than I can be.
The rock and roll kid himself, Paul Harrington, and his lovely version of You Raise Me Up. I suggested it would make a great national anthem. You know, just think of a full stadium singing that song as our national anthem, known the world over. Everyone would feel compelled to join in. And in terms of, you know, the island of Ireland being represented by that song, there are echoes of Danny Boy in there, which, of course, is the Derry air. So there's nothing not to like about it. Could it work? I think it would. Don't know what you think.